I've been having a tough week when I was sucked into a time vortex and seduced by Phil Jackson. Okay, it wasn't actually that tough a week. I don't have much to complain about. My family's all healthy. I like my job. On the weekends, my husband will stay home and vacuum dog hair from the home that we own while I clumsily craft or skate with my friends. Things feel stable. And yet, there are periods in my life where my need for validation growls like an industrial heater. Nothing on my face looks correctly placed. I wear extroverted prints and platform shoes and then frown at them. I hate the punctuation and phrases and people-pleasing anecdotes I over-rely on. I do want someone to wrap me in blankets and tell me I'm okay, but I'd also be very open to someone tearing down my world and showing me an entirely new way to be. I was sulking around my neighborhood thinking about just this when I saw it. When you see a time machine in real life, it doesn't look the way you'd expect it to. I personally expected a time machine to be a pod-looking, red knob-covered thing. But ultimately, it was just this new yellow button added to the crosswalk by the Wendy's on International. The new button was next to that useless one you tap to queue up the walk sign, and it said, "Time machine." Why not? I tapped it, and a swirling vortex opened and consumed me. I spun in the vortex for about 30 seconds. This looked a lot like a 60s sci-fi movie, all maroon, hazy, psychedelic swirls, and my arms and legs twisting around. As I spun, I thought, did anyone see that? Did my skirt lift up? Who'll feed the dog at 5? My concerns for the basset were interrupted, though, when I spilled out of the vortex into a now familiar spot, the New York Knicks locker room in 1973. From my amateur oral history project I used to make 2020 and 2021 go by faster, I knew this must be some horrible magical destiny stuff. I studied this time period, so I was dumped into it. And yeah, with the neat and convenient logic that only exists in children's books and porn plots, in the locker room was a young Phil Jackson himself, uniformed up, drenched in sweat, and much more intensely smelly than people in 2023. I inhaled deeply. "I don't think reporters are allowed in here," said Phil, and he gave me a generous wink. With that mustache, everything he said would have looked winking, but yeah, the man quite literally winked at me. "Unless," Phil added knowingly, "you use the time machine." Phil gestured that I follow him, and though I had been thrust into a batshit new world, I instinctively trusted him. At the back of the rusty orange locker room, Phil popped open a hatch by his locker, which would typically cover electrical wiring. Inside the hatch was a tiny green button that said below it, in responsible schoolteacher handwriting, "Time machine." Well, there was a way to get home, maybe. That was a relief. But I still had so many questions. How often do people wander into this locker room from the future? Are all of them Knicks fans? Am I the first? I looked up at him. Damn, he was tall. You can't have a conversation on equal footing with a man that tall when you're 5'4". It's hard to look up to see those eyes twinkle. "You're my 7th, said Phil. "Are most of them from the future, like the 2020s, or the past, like the 1600s or something?" Phil sat down and briefed me on the ins and outs of the time machine and the people he'd met through it. 5 men and 2 women. It makes sense, I pointed out, that women are afraid to time travel, given that most of the past was pretty much just rape and cooking. Phil seemed thrown off that I said rape out loud, but agreed. All the time travelers came from the future, and all of them were, yes, basketball fans. This, to Phil, showed a decisive lack of coincidence. The time travelers were able to identify they were at MSG almost immediately, and all seemed glad to be there. Did anyone stay here in the past? No, I think most people miss their families and their phones. Do people tell you what happens in your future? Phil blushed. A little. I mean, someone high-fived me and said 11 rings as soon as he saw me, and I think it's pretty straightforward what that means. In the future, I'll win 11 championships. Which is exceptional, great, but I don't want to know much beyond that. I've asked people not to tell me. If I knew the future, I'd stop being present in the moment, in the here and now. Fair enough. Usually I take time travelers out to see 70s New York for a night, if that's hip with you, Phil said to me. Would I fit in? I asked. He looked me up and down, assessing my style, but also, probably, my body. My mind quickly went there. It always goes there. Was I hot enough to be seen in public with Phil Jackson? I'm far from the lithe, leotard-wearing, pseudo-intellectual, yet somehow also really intellectual babes Phil likely rails nightly after martinis and joints. But maybe my wisdom from the future could make up for my physical demerits in the eyes of a man born in 1945. Apparently, Phil decided I was enough, because the next thing I knew, he was hailing a cab for a New York City dream date that young me imagined adulthood in a city would be like. You know, nothing costs money and you never get tired. We were driven to Chinatown and ate at a place with a signed picture of Phil on the wall. The waitresses wore high-collared floral dresses and kept the Mai Tais flowing. We ordered Phil's regular at a booth in the corner that his legs spilled out of. His regular arrived quickly, the Buddha's delight with lo mein and rice. You can't get this in North Dakota, he told me. Over dinner, Phil grilled me about my childhood, what I hold sacred in my ambitions as a writer, light getting to know you stuff. I left out details that would spoil the future for him and accepted one of his legendary pep talks about releasing the great novel inside me. His eye contact and the Mai Tais made me glow. We walked to the Village and record shopped. Phil generously explained all his favorite musicians to me. I teased him by sharing which ones fell into obscurity. He slammed his hand over my mouth to make me stop. We wandered into a jazz club Phil seemingly chose at random, where he shook hands with the bouncer and called the waitress Sugar. Yuck, I thought, until I saw she had a name tag that said Sugar. More free drinks were sent over for the most charming man in New York and his plus one. Phil clutched my knee to get my attention. I've seen the sax player before. He's the best. Was I crazy, or was he letting his hand rest there a little long on purpose? During the music, Phil closed his eyes and smiled. Sacred, he told me. Close your eyes. I rolled them instead, but was a little turned on too, a bittersweet combination. He took me to a party on Sullivan Street where a gorgeous tall girl asked me where I got my quilted coat. California? And where we danced with strangers like they were old friends. I let a painter on acid touch my face and they left cerulean fingerprints. I looked for Phil and saw him giving a college professor a back rub in the corner. Someone took out a deflated soccer ball and Phil got up and shot hoops against the wall with it, nearly destroying an original Josie Blass piece. The whole vibe felt less Warhol and more touchy-feely drama club to me, with Phil as the leading man. His energy was impressive and exhausting. Hadn't he played against the Trailblazers just a few hours ago? My body ached from the hours of dancing and terrible 70s red wine, but I pushed myself onward. How often can you twist and shout with ghosts of the past? Phil put his arms around me from behind, and our height difference didn't seem so wild after all. Then he bit my ear and whispered, "Are we gonna sleep together or what?" Despite myself, my whole body reacted immediately. I thought of the scene in Tootsie where Jessica Lange says what she really wants is a man to be blunt with her. No more contrived lines. Was time travel my consequence-free Tootsie moment for just that? I said. Asked Phil, and he nuzzled my neck. Rather than his storied signature odor, this time I smelled top notes of scotch and sour breath. You're a writer, and all you can say is, I thought of all the things I knew about Phil to kick off my pro and con list. Zen techniques. Patience with Dennis Rodman. Lots of grandkids. Lots of women. Kobe. Jeannie Buss. The stories from before his coaching stardom, too. Women and men from the 50s and 60s and 70s and 80s who built him, who served him pancakes and taught him about culture and ritual and companionship, and who treated his cock like it belonged in the gem room of the Museum of Natural History, to whom he gave back very little. And then I thought about my own life and the people who've passed through it. Friends, coworkers, quiet classmates, mysterious crush-dummers, charming stars, those out of my league, complicated and perfect, that I felt so lucky to entertain and be fucked by. People I didn't put on a pedestal, but got hurt by anyway. All these everyday Phil Jacksons play brief and intense guest roles in our lives and then move along in their search for self-actualization. We can only overanalyze what they leave behind. Fading memories of smells and body parts and snippets of conversation. I was dancing in what I idealized as the best time to live in New York City, failing Con Ed grid and social inequality and all, with one of the most primally appealing humans I could imagine. And yet, I want to go back to the time machine, I said. That's fair, said Phil, and pulled his hot breathing face away from my ear and neck. He held out his hand and a new red button was in his palm that had certainly not been there just a few minutes earlier when we'd been slow dancing to the Carpenters. The button said time machine in block lettering below it. What? Was I making a huge mistake? Was Phil Jackson magic after all? I'll never find out, I guess. I pressed the button and I was home in time to feed my dog and stare in the mirror wondering what the fuck just happened and if I'd learned anything from it at all. Phil could go back to the 1973-1974 season, the 80s and beyond, his usual routines and people and problems. I'd go back to mine.